One, and this is why I only open my mic and not desktop, so you can't hear Messina messing with me. Hello! You're going to hear only the GM's voice. Welcome to another edition of Age of Ashes Live. We are at episode 31 in our live stream, episode 33 in our Elven Portal podcast, which is audio only. You can find both everywhere. We upload this stuff all over the net to all kinds of podcatchers. We upload this to our Rollmongers Network podcasts on YouTube for the video aspect. And you can obviously watch this live right now, Friday night, 7:30. We bounce between Dice for Dishonor, Age of Ashes, and stuff. But why? Well, tonight we're going to do a triple header. We're going to play second edition all night long. And we'll bank those episodes and release them, uploading them later as the weeks go by. But if you're here now, you get a little taste of the future, everything that's going to happen that will be laid down in the weeks to come while we are meanwhile switching to our other games and formats on a Friday night. We also play Monday night, 7:30. We're gearing up for Starfinder, and we are playing Star Wars. We have five shows up and running. Our second edition, Age of Ashes, the Elven Portal podcast, right here. We have Dice Before Dishonor, the War for the Crown podcast, first edition with our All Cavalier and One Fly Samurai. We've reinvented, relisted, and soon I will be turning Mummy's Mask over to a brand new GM, allowing me to play, who we're going to start dabbling in the world of virtual tabletop, sort of for some 3D video to give that game and that show some oomph. We are rapidly getting to the close of season one of Dice Before Dishonor, and there's going to be some changes there. We have done a pilot for the Evil campaign that we're going to shelf, but you'll see it again hopefully September, October, when people are feeling particularly nefarious and evil once again. And, of course, our very first podcast, we shot first the Dawn of Defiance campaign for the Star Wars Antiquated Saga edition. Oh, so broken. Oh, so much fun. We are in season three. Season one, endlessly. Endlessly, first level, all these guys are complaining. No, you're a bunch of you second level, third level. Star Wars were like fifth level. And the network marches on. Tonight, we are streaming live to Twitter, to Twitch, to DLive in China, to Steam, to our Facebook account, to our YouTube account. We're everywhere. And you can go into those streams and leave comments, and they'll pop up, and myself, Matt Witt, Joe Gibson, we always have a cast member spread out to make sure that we hear what you have to say and join in the heckling. And you know what, if you got something really, really fun or funny that can add to the game, we might even call you out on it. You might suddenly become a part of our podcast, so do drop on by, make those comments, let yourself be known. And of course, our YouTube page is speckled and defreckled with tons of satellite lawyers reminding us of the way Pathfinder 2nd Edition should be run. And we are grateful. After I stop crying in my pillow, because, you know, some of them are really harsh. I'm trying my best. We appreciate you guys, and we invite you to come and talk to us live. I mean, imagine if we could have the satellite rulers in the lobbies hashing out stuff while we're looking stuff up. I mean, you'd get instant access. We wouldn't finish an episode wrong. You know, we'd have the input of the fans. So by all means, come down to www.twitch.com/GMSCut on Twitter, the GM Jeff Ball Facebook page, Rollmongers Podcast Network on YouTube. Check us out on Twitter as well at the @Rollmongers. And if you're watching the show and you catch us on a ruling that we're, you know, that we're reading, that we're playing, that we think we know, and our brains fall back to first edition, call us on it. No, we don't mind. We want to know. We're here to learn the game. We're here to have fun. And we're hoping you're learning the game system along with enjoying our story. The Age of Ashes storyline is kick ass. I got to tell you, these guys are going on a world tour because of a certain, well, it's in the name, the Elven Portal. You know, emphasis on portals, guys. There might be some travel in your future. Just saying. Welcome. Shout out to our sponsors, Devin Knight, for these awesome minis we've been using on our virtual tables. And of course, the good folks at Fantasy Grounds, who have afforded us the books so that we may explore our copies of Fantasy Grounds to the hilt. And I was enjoying reading my PDF and comparing it to the Fantasy Ground notes in the actual virtual display. And I got to say, they got everything covered. They don't cut corners. You know, it's all there. It's formatted a little differently. You got to wrap your head around it. But if you don't, you know, if you can't sort of dig with the tiny windows and the clicking on stuff, they have the reference manual, which is, you know, the adventure verbatim. Now, I don't know if you're a GM like me, but if you are, you always have one thumb in the map page. Am I right? get your thumb in the map page, and you're like, okay, room A1, right? And then you're reading it, room A2, room A3. And then, of course, those descriptions bleed on to the next page, the next page, the next page, and the next page, and your thumb is sitting there marking the map. Well, in Fantasy Grounds, they've got these pins in the rooms, and you click on the pin, it's poof, there's your room description, this is what you can feed the players, here's your encounter to drag into the encounter thing, you know, oop, I'm going to refamish a Pog with a Devon Knight Mini, make it all look spectacular as we can, and we're good to go. So we have a good time, and we're live tonight. And if you're at home watching or listening, we hope you're staying safe. We hope that as much entertainment as we're trying to get up as fast as we can, as many games as we can, has de-stressed, eased the burden. Let's go around and talk about the fact that you gentlemen have finished the Underground Citadel Eldraine level, or have you? There is a collapsed stairway that goes up and down. Smells like barbecue chicken. Don't ask the auxiliary cast why that is. And outside are a bunch of goblins eagerly waiting their instructions as disciples of our monk and Melba, the oracle goblin, who's cousin to Helba, the chieftain leader. They're anxiously waiting a report. Guys, do you emerge from the dungeon to rest, to recoup, to talk about third level? Gentlemen, I have in my possession a very, very... I lost it. Okay, I had in my possession a very, very Jacksepticeye thing to do. Every time you guys level, the dwarves level, ladies and gentlemen. The brew's on the way. Let's talk about leveling your characters. But first I want to know, is it the door? The secret door at the front? Or the secret tunnel that Frank found? Where are we going to go, guys?
I put a vote towards the secret tunnel.
The secret tunnel, yay, that sounds like... That needs at least a bit of looking at. We know what's that way up and out. It's a
not secret. It's a not secret tunnel.
In woods and town, we know where that is.
So we're not telling everybody outside that we didn't die in here.
There, well, not yet. We won't.
No, it's fine. That's fine. Just let it be known, though. Like, you know, there's no cavalry can come and save your butts, or certain characters that are like, oh, we thought they were in this dungeon. You know, what do you mean they went made all the way back to such and such? How long is that tunnel? You know, or, you know, maybe they're just like, okay, the dwarves have been gone. It's been 3 days. Citadel's ours.
You know? Well, they're in for a rude surprise then when a group of angry dwarves comes bottom up out of this thing.
All right. Down the tunnel. Gentlemen, the tunnel is about an 8-foot ceiling, about 5-10 feet wide. It narrows in certain points. And do you guys have any way of telling a direction underground? Any spells or natural stone cunning or anything like that?
I don't think that's a thing that's in this game.
No, I heard that dwarves from past times used to know this kind of stuff, but they filled their heads with rubbish and nonsense like that. Yes.
Imagine.
So I have a nearly flawless way of telling which direction. We go all the way to the end. We poke our heads out, and we see where we are.
Grails of wisdom.
All right.
That's why I'm the smart one.
This tunnel is long. It travels for miles. And we have a montage prepared of everything that you guys do, or should I say, shove Niles in front so he can level and catch up to you guys. The gelatinous cubes, the skeletons, the spiders, it's endless. And with Niles on point, he slowly but surely becomes wiser, stronger, beefier, more manly. And because...
And?
and
at least...
Go ahead.
Sorry.
Go ahead. I was going to say, just to circle back to my... like previous thoughts about going this way, the footprints that maybe we were following earlier, you know, the one that had laid that ritual down on the table and pissed off all those dead guys, we may find that going this way. So, Niles, look sharp. I've got your back, buddy. Fireball only hurts for a second.
What movie was it where they've got all the hitmen? And they're all just sitting out in the hall firing off their guns and having Kramer where they got like the one guy doing all the work, Mark Wahlberg. You guys remember that? This is what I'm picturing is you guys have got, you know, you guys have got Niles with his light source. And you guys are just 60 feet beyond using your dark vision voices going, oh yeah, there's, you know, lots of creatures back here. You go. You make him fight everything with his rapier and cast all the spells and beef up.
We're barely holding them back. Keep running.
That's right. XP does count. XP is a great system. One thing they offer, an ultimate system, is a milestone system. And we're currently using this system, we're testing it, for good and bad, so that, like, you guys aren't tempted to, like, poke in every corner, kill everything that moves, and loot exactly every body. Of course, you have been, but I'm just saying, like, there is that option to, like, take a prisoner, take a walk on the beach, you know, possibly not do every inch of the dungeon. It's your story, gentlemen.
I'm just saying that good habits die hard.
Okay.
This level has been pacified.
You guys are going to enter the second book at fifth level. You guys finish this, you're currently third. But because Joe had two characters and was back and gone and forth and gone kind of thing, kind of torched him a little bit and let him drag his, like, first level butt through a very dangerous higher level dungeon. He almost died twice with both characters, so I think he's earned his stripes. So although he recently leveled to second a couple sessions ago, when you guys reach the end of the tunnel, I am very happy to say that, you know, the entire party is and must, because it's going to get really good from here, be third level. So, dun, 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 dun. Let's talk about everyone leveling up, starting with the man of the hour, Niles.
Sure. The guy who's not done. It's because I actually have some flavor for my leveling up.
Okay.
So,
all right.
Because basically, when going up to level 3, we get a general feat. Right. Out of the core rulebook, for general feats are kind of not limited, just a little less flavorful than, you know, the Omens book. And except something that actually makes sense for our storyline is adopted ancestry. Since I've been traveling with dwarves,
mm-hmm.
even though this doesn't really help my character, or say in other ways, I do believe I'll be taking this, which allows me to become more one with my brethren.
Is this supposed to be like I was raised by dwarves, or Auntie Heavy Shanks married a dwarf?
Yeah, because it's at level 1.
Yeah.
Right? It's a general feat for level 1, but it also states that a deep bond or passage of rite, right? A deep friendship or romance, obviously that's not happening, but allows you to choose the ancestry.
Okay. Well, they respect your
God. Since I've been traveling with dwarves, since I've been a level 1,
yeah.
It kind of makes sense. Well, even though it doesn't help my character per se, toughness or fleet.
You are giving up a third level feat. Like, if people don't realize this, feats don't just have prerequisites now, they have levels. He can't take a third level feat until he's third level.
Yeah. But under the core rule books for humans,
mm-hmm.
for a third level general feat, there's two. One's untrained improvisation, use any weapon type thing without penalties.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one is Ancestral Paragon, which allows me to gain a first level ancestry. But that's what I am going to choose.
Well, speaking of feats, don't have them here. Seem to pull that up. Still haven't figured this out. It's great that we have access to this, but I got to say, like, some of our... We thought a learn-as-you-go approach to Fantasy Grounds as well as... I mean, the first 9 episodes are like a tutorial. Oh, let's do this, you know. What about the new book, the Galorian book, the Lost Omens book?
The Lost Omens? The Lost Omens has tons of stuff, but I do not.
Oh.
I'm loaded.
All right, so...
So I'll leave it for now, anyways.
Let's talk about what you would like to do. You're going to take another level cleric.
Yes, I'll be taking another level cleric, which allows me to to cast second level spells, finally.
Yay,
and... With doing this, I've also done some extra reading. I've been doing my healing spells wrong on our part, not on the baddies' part.
Go on,
yes. So for heal, when you cast it in one action, it allows you to heal D8.
Yes.
Right? I have the feat that changes all my D8s to D10s.
Yep.
No problem. If you do it on the 2 action, which is being verbal and somatic, you get to do D10 plus 8.
Yeah, but when you're healing undead, I was reading that today, it's specifically for the undead healing, not people.
But for the undead healing, that's the burst. That's all I've ever done. But even for the 2 somatic, is you increase the hit points restored by 8. So it's D10 plus 8.
Yeah, I was reading that today, but it said plus 8 for the undead part, not for the people part.
No, for living. Healing a living creature increases the hit points restored by 8. So that's something I have not been doing.
Where is this? I was looking at this today.
This is under heal.
All right.
The two action.
The spell or the actual healing?
No, the spell.
The spell, okay.
But now since I'm also second level, I'm able to cast heightened spells.
Yeah, let's talk about...
Because that's the way heal works.
Let's talk about heightening spells. That's a good topic to dull into while, you know, we're rapidly stalling it. Because apparently I see three glazed over people going, click, 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 click. I'm not done leveling my guy either, so... Let's dig into the knowledge of Mr. Gibson here and talk about...
Okay, so for heighten, the way heal works, heal is a first level spell. And then you get to heighten it plus one for every spell level. So every time you heighten it, you get a D8.
So what do you have to do to like heighten it? Memorize it at a higher level?
The way healing works, i.e. the heal spell, for clerics anyways, is that you get one plus your con modifier of bonus spells. Those have to be used to cast healing spells or harm spells based on your deity.
Mm-hmm.
So take your one plus your charisma modifier, and that's how many bonus healing spells you get a day. You can use your other spells if you wish, your spell slots for that. But that's
not a wisdom modifier?
No, it's charisma. Everything is charisma based.
Hmm. Okay.
Because there is no more bonus spells for high attributes.
Oh, okay. Like
if you have an 18 wisdom for clerics, oh well. It just makes your spells harder to resist. You no longer get bonus spells.
Oh, but there is a DC. Yeah, but it ups the DC. It makes the, you know, there is.
Yep.
Yeah.
There's still bonus, but.
Yeah, but
compared to older systems.
That's good, though. They're spreading it out. Here's some charisma for this bonus. And here, because if they dump everything into one stat, then the characters are just going to be like 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, wisdom. You know,
yeah,
everything's
yeah,
about, you know.
This rounds it out a little bit better.
Yeah,
but
sounds good.
With the heightened for healing, for every time you heighten it, you increase the healing or damage by D8. And in my hand, since I have the feat that turns all my D8s to D10s, so now my healing does 2D10. But for the two... action version, it also increases the extra healing by 8. So now it's 2d10 plus 16, which makes my healing spells a little bit more effective than they used to be. Because before is my medicine check that was doing most of the work. Now, my actual magical healing will do better than my med. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's my dude.
This would dial back to our first cleric, played by Cheryl, who was kind of wondering why she was there, because you guys were like, I got this medicine check done, 2d8. She's like, well, what's the point of having a cleric here with spells besides fighting undead?
At second level and third level, it definitely...
Exponentially.
Huge, yes. Because everybody has more hit points. So here's your medicine check. Okay, well, here's your 2d8 for your medicine check, and now you have to wait an hour. Or, here you go. Touch of God. Ah, I feel so much...
Yeah, positive energy is your friend. Right on. So character feat, a class feat, or a skill feat, you got a third.
A third, I get a general feat.
A general feat. And you took the ancestry.
Yep.
And do you get anything else? Any other feats?
I don't think so.
Okay. Does your base stat go up?
Well, all your skills go up by level, right? So your base attack is still a skill.
Well, do you remember how like the fighter got one for one? I'm curious how the cleric is. It, you know, does it start at zero and go 1, 2, 3, 4, or is, you know, is there a chart that stagnates it? You're 3, 3 at
no more chart. Remember, you're either trained, untrained, expert, legendary. That's how it goes up, because it also goes by your level too. Right?
Oh, okay. So you get trained, which is like a +2 or something out of the gate.
+2 plus half my level.
Half your okay, so it's half your level, and then they give you an expert going, okay, once you're fifth level, you're allowed to be an expert in these things, and once you're this level, okay, so
yeah.
I got it. I think I'm following this. Hit points.
Hit points. I now have.
They give you the D8, or they give you the human. So they talked about the.
Yeah, because I get the. I'm a cleric. I get D10.
D8 probably.
I don't know. It did it all by itself. I wasn't paying attention to that.
Well,
because I now have 35 hit points. So
okay, well, that sounds like D8s plus all your base stuff. Okay. And what about saving throws? Where are they sitting at right now?
Saving throws are the same as your skills. They go up.
Your level? Or half your level?
Your level and your expertise. And if you're trained, expert, blah.
So what have you got? Do you have a 4 running? You know?
Oh, for my...
willpower
my
should...
My mind saves are 11, 5, and 8. 11 being willpower. 5 being reflex.
Okay.
Each being fortitude.
Yeah, so they still lean into the will and fortitude like the classic cleric. Reflex, not so much. Okay.
But the main thing is I went up in spell level, so now I can cast two second level spells, plus I get three bonus spells for healing at second level.
Awesome. Okay.
So I went from mediocre healer to, oh my god, he can heal everybody.
Okay. Well, we'll go around the room. We'll see what we can't soak out of these guys as you go down the long, endless secret tunnel.
I'm just talking about myself.
No. This is what we wanted. We, you know, the leveling episodes are important, even though they might, whether they take up 10 minutes or half the night or whatever. While you're playing your character, we take for granted that some of the choices you guys made, or, you know, we're talking about the rules, but, and some of those choices going, oh, I took this monk feat. Okay, what does it do? But it's not the building, it's not the character creation so much. So when you guys level from now on, I want to take the time to explore your choices, maybe reflect on the old system a little bit, going, oh, this has changed, this hasn't changed, that kind of thing. So who wants to go next? No.
Everybody join. I think I'm pretty much good to go here.
Okay. So let's talk about Thorthery.
Thorthery. So first of all, for my general feat, I took magical crafting. And the only thing I haven't done is picked out my formulas yet, but I am going to look at that list once you're done. But know that I will be making magical things.
The guy that keeps failing the DC to identify magical things is now going to start dollar storing out stuff for you guys. Is this what we're saying?
Yep, that's exactly it. You got it, buddy.
Awesome.
And so for my skill increase, I took crafting.
Yes.
And then I got a bunch of new spells. So I'm very happy about the new spells.
Well, let's talk about your new hit points, your new training, you know, work your way up. Save the icing for the top of the cake, right?
My max hit points is up to just not bad. Not bad at all.
Right on. And what about your saves?
My saves are now Fortitude 7, Reflex 7, Will 8.
How come your reflex is so high? Is it composed to your willpower? I thought they would go with the will. Like, I understand your dexterity is 14 and Niles is 10.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm ninja-esque.
And you guys aren't going to see another stat boost, I'm assuming, until 5th or 6th.
I think 4th, isn't it?
Oh, is it 4th?
5th.
Soon.
Fifth. So, soon. Couple levels.
Soon.
Couple levels.
Soon. Yes.
And yeah, so spells. Other than that, yeah. I now have access to second level spells.
And have you picked any?
I have.
I'm hoping that you took a look at the one spell that I found in the Galorian book, because I love this spell. And it's a cold spell. It's a very Canadian spell, too.
I did not take the cold spell because I didn't see it in the list on
Fantasy Grounds. It's in the Lost Omens book. Well, I don't want to mention it now because it sounds like I'm like, you know.
All right, don't do it, man. Don't tease.
It's called Snowball. From what I have access to.
Well.
Oh, dude, it's such a good spell.
No, I took... I had to take my ancestry spell as one of my choices. They kind of lock you into some things, but you get a choice as to... So that gave me Resist Energy, which is a pretty good spell, really.
Yeah.
I also took Dispel Magic, because that's a really good spell.
At third level, you have a... Dispel Magic is a second level spell now?
Second level spell.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Oh, well, that I was looking at somebody today, maybe a bad guy, maybe just my own interest, but they made Spider Climb second level instead of first.
Well, guess what my third spell is?
Oh, no.
I was like, how could I make our party better? And I was looking at the different spells that enhance you, and there was a couple of ones that I was like, okay. And then I saw Spider Climb, and I was like, imagining the chest hair growing, coming out as tendrils, giving him his climb speed.
I thought it was just like maybe the beard, you know, the ear hair. It says tiny hairs come out of your arms and feet, and they cling to stuff. And you get climb speed equal to
that's
your
what I'm saying.
Speed. So
canonical
for flavor. Could we make it his chest hair?
Well, if you were the monk, are you just gonna like you imagine Ryan's face? Like you've been covered up. And there's the beard and there's the robes the whole time. You cast a spell and just like unleash not only like well-groomed chest hair, but undo one up them by like, you know, it goes up. There's a third tendril just kind of waving at the monk. Hi, ha, ha. You know,
total groundskeeper Willy moment.
Yeah.
It's like opening the Ark of the Covenant from Moros.
Grease me up, laddie.
Well, the Simpsons reference I figured was Moros like every other battle. You know, like groundskeeper Willie. I thought his character was based on Willie, actually.
Yeah, I always take a free action after combat. I don't want to chew up an airtime, but I always put a shirt on after every fight so I can rip it off at the beginning.
You just
of
chew that airtime.
Loot the body.
Yeah, so that one I took for you specifically in mind, Mr. Messina. Great things in the future.
I will try to endeavor to maximize those opportunities they will provide me with.
Well, with you being able to climb at your movement speed, full movement speed.
Oh, that's really... Oh, so it's off your speed.
It's really creeping out. Like, imagine the bad guy caster standing on the ceiling, right? And then along, looking like he's prone, doing the caterpillar chest movement, you know, coming at...
Wait, creepy. Could it use back air, too?
Sure.
So it'd be like the Exorcist crawl, but, like, on the roof of the building? Oh, that's nope. That's a nope.
You like it would look like one of those creepy rock centipede things. Just coming out his little feet, pulling you along.
Okay.
Oh, no.
It would look creepy. I'm sure it would look creepy.
That's awesome. At least I don't have to worry about fireball yet from you guys.
I was going to take Sonic Blast. It's a 10-foot blast of Sonic
in your
damage,
case, you got
nice,
like, but... the component would be like grabbing the Muros' chest for a giant hairball, throwing it, it enlarges, and then you're banging rocks trying to get the spark. There's the dwarven fireball. Yeah. There you go.
Oh, the smell.
and it's already soaked in alcohol.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. Like, it just comes out of his pores. Just light him up. He goes running towards you. Bad guys is the Burning Man. All right. So what other did you notice any changes between first and second edition? Was there anything you're really excited about? Let's talk about your focus point.
Yeah. So my focus point is what I spend to take my Dragon's Claws form.
Right. Which we found is really good in Draconic negotiations a couple of sessions ago.
Of course it would be.
Right on. All right.
But yeah, that's it. That's it for me. But I'm pretty happy with that level.
No,
because
cool.
Now I have the opportunity to heighten Maxwell.
All right. I need you a little bit closer there, Matt, because we adjusted your levels today.
Sorry.
I'm
yep.
picking up a lot of echo and not a lot of... But at least we fixed the fan problem. All right. We talked about him. We stole his chest hair. Whether he's ready or not, it's time to talk to Miros, the Freshmaker.
Ooh, that's okay.
The Freshmaker.
I was born ready.
What do we got? I'm going to pull up Miros here. What do we got?
Well, I'm still punching it in the fancy ground, but I still kind of do it the old-fashioned way on a PDF beforehand. So what I end up choosing, we'll start with the general feat. I wrestled more health or more speed, and I figured speed is key. So I ended up choosing the fleet, gaining 5 feet extra on top of my normal 20 with my dwarven trotters.
Okay.
So nothing really different about that. That's still the same from as it's always been. Now, as for saves, they all jumped up. I'm at 999. It's going to be a fun level, man. 9.
All right. What about attacks or stances or monk feats? Anything? Any new cool moves we can look forward to?
No. I didn't get any feat. I got features, though.
Such as?
So I got Mystic Strikes, which my attacks are now considered a magical weapon for dealing with DR.
Oh, that's huge.
Yeah.
You are the weapon.
I have always been the weapon. Now it is personified.
That's cool.
Yeah. No, that's phenomenal. That's really going to help. Yeah. I'm going to get dividends out of that, I'm sure. And I also got incredible movement, which gives me another plus 10 to my base movement speed. So cranking me up to a base move speed of 35. I'm even faster than the Humi in our group.
Than the Humi?
That's right. He's half dwarf.
Yeah, his beard's starting to grow out, right? Does Niles actually does he have like the Errol Flynn goatee like we have on your mini, or all these Humis look the same to us? What does your guy look like again, Joe? Was he really young?
He's like a little baby compared to these guys.
Now, these guys are like college dwarves. Like everyone's like, oh, you're this wise old dwarf. It's like, no, Dahlgren, Rob's NPC / my invention, there's an old dwarf. These guys are young, first time out of the country kind of thing. Like they're on spring break. Let's open a brewery. This is a great idea. They have no social skills in case you haven't figured that out.
Really? We're just teenagers entering a rebellious stage.
Yeah.
Left home. Fuck you. I'll show you how to make a real brew.
Some real 19 to 21 year old dwarven morons, you know.
Why do you think we're so damn belligerent?
Sorry, Joe, you were saying about
Niles can't even drink legally.
It's like, he's still a baby.
Well, what is the legal age here?
I have no idea, but
if he can lift it.
Yeah.
So about your beard. You gonna grow up?
I was clean shaven, but hanging out with the dwarves for this long, it would be the ugly playoff beard that majority of hockey players have.
Okay.
If anybody knows anything like that, where it's like couple little strands here, a couple little strands there. Sort of like when Jeff grows out his beard.
Well played, sir.
My COVID beard that which the wife absolutely hated. She does not like a beard on me at all. She's very sensitive skin, and you know.
I thought it made you look really young.
Wait, I got that. I actually, for fun, I put that. I had this self-isolation selfie thing I found on Instagram, and I switched from the Role Mongers to ours and my Facebook, and I was going around the house pointing out art and stuff and having fun, things you can do at home, right? And the beard was growing in, and she hated it. So I'm like, okay, how can I fix this? I'm like, compromise. I will do the Tony Stark beard because she loves Iron Man, and right? So I did it, but I forgot to take half the stash down to Errol Flynn level, so I had this thick... thick as in tall, not thick as in bushy, okay? It still looked like thin crap, but this wide Tom Selleck over top of the edged-in, peaked, you know, Tony Stark. I got all kinds of people, you know, online and friends and family, when they stopped laughing, said I looked younger. it's funny because...
The ridicule comes with it.
I had people ask if I was younger than you guys. I said, well, maybe Frank, but I'm actually like one of the oldest people here. I just happen to look a little younger. But anyway, beards being relevant to the ancestry of dwarves. So I had to make sure that you were growing out that beard, or I might, you know, use my GM right to deny you that feat for Niles the cleric. This tangent is relevant, folks. Now, speaking about characters, Ryan and I were talking about, he was asking about retraining feats. Normally I'm not a big fan of this, but I thought, well, if we're trying to showcase a new system and he's not changing stuff like, okay, this kept me alive at first level, like dodge and toughness, and now I want to trade it off for something better that didn't work for me at high level. He's trading up some feats and skills that he wasn't using. And if he's not using them, we're not showcasing them for you to learn, for us to learn. So I'm allowing these guys to possibly do some, cosmetic changes to their characters to retrain any feats. I don't think anybody has except for Ryan. Did you switch up something yet, or were you still waiting?
Yes. I wanted to change out a skill feat and a class feat because I wasn't using at all the ones that I had chosen.
Mm-hmm. And what did you give up, and what did you take?
Yeah. So for the class, I wanted to change out my level 2 feat, which was Dancing Leaf, which is really cool. It gives you slow fall and helps you with your jumping. But with being a mountain stance monk, kind of didn't really blend with the whole theme. I wasn't really getting any mileage out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But what I have been doing lately is grabbing stuff. So I wanted to swap out Dancing Leaf to Crushing Grab. Crushing Grab, really fun, especially if you grab stuff a lot, because it lets you do your strength damage to anything that you grab.
Oh, okay. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And as for the skill feat,
that like grabbed like misty semi-corporeal undead and put him in the pit, the armpit, you know, noogie, noogie, noogie. I fear you now. I think I fear this character far greater. I felt bad. I read what's coming. You know, they don't pull punches in this adventure. There's some really unique surprises that I'm really going to enjoy. And we tried crit cards and realized they weren't meshing with the way we approached them. We're going to put them down for a little while and just focus on the story instead of, you know, mulching the combat and picking out every cherry red flavor and green stew, you know, that kind of thing. Not to mention these guys are getting upset. They kept falling on their own weapons and we lost a very cool NPC. So we're backing off the cards for a while and leaning into sort of our own, you know, our own basic stuff. While we wrap our heads around it, they could come back. You know, you could vote them back. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, audience out there. Send us emails and stuff that I could forward to Messina and Frank. You know, we missed those crit cards. Let's see them. Yes. Yes. Act now. These guys
are... maybe a Patreon could...
Patreon.
Tier.
Yeah. We can make your own. We'll have a Patreon tier for that. Speaking of Patreon, we now list and thank all of our patrons on our end stream pages. So you can see, if you're one of our patrons, besides us going on and thanking you, you can see your names or whatever. And, you know, times are tough with COVID. Like, we totally get that no one has money to throw around, you know, these days at all, especially with so many people unemployed. Your listenership, your comments, your emails, your, you know, whatever. Don't just lurk, say hi, whatever. You know, stand up and be counted. Don't just be a blind number in SoundCloud. Something I've been trying to mention for years, as opposed to shout outs, right? Some people like, oh, pay for a shout out. And we actually have our $10 tiers, like, hey, we will definitely, you know, shout out. I mean, our token Age of Ashes patron, Jackson Harris, got a puppy named after him. It's a little overkill, but we mentioned him quite a lot. I wanted to shout out to a couple of places. Mountain View, California, loves us. The hits on SoundCloud coming out of there are huge and have been for 3 years. Not a person, not a single account I can zoom in on, just the city come up in the stats, you know, the countries that are big, the cities are big. Mountain View, California, USA, hats off and thank you. We've either got one guy that's just bored and spamming our page or something, or we have a community that, you know, is really enjoying our show and listen to everyone. Now, I have been known to not be completely social media savvy, a little tactless, a little put my foot in my mouth. So I'm going to ask you guys, I see names of people's accounts that listen on SoundCloud and stuff, and they've never said boo. I'd like to thank these people, but I'm not sure if that would be wrong, if like dropping someone's name that maybe doesn't want to be heard is taboo. We have some listeners that have been with us for forever, for 3 years. And I'm not just talking about Coop, who's very vocal. You know, that's been with us since day one and has been heckling me and all of our Facebook. You can see him here popping up every Friday night, Gamma Night since 1976. You know, one of our biggest, most vocal fans, shall we say. We appreciate all of our fans. We appreciate all of our listeners. We're just hoping to maybe, you know, hear some more from you, some of your thoughts. We ask for comments about the rules on YouTube, and we have guys like Matt Bell, Ben Ingram, a new guy, Robert Hammer, have all dropped really, really good info. And I'm not saying they're picking apart what we're doing, but they're like, you know, I think you got this wrong. Look at this again, kind of thing, you know, and I don't take offense to this. Joe doesn't take offense to this, you know, that kind of thing. We want to see this stuff.
We'll take all the help we can get.
Yeah. It tells us that you're enjoying the show and you're dialed in and you're listening type of thing. We want to hear more from you. Shout out to the folks in Dublin, Ireland, over across the pond. Huge numbers coming out of there. When you take SoundCloud or Spreaker and iTunes and everything, and it shows you all the different places like Spotify, and instead of looking at a weekly stat or monthly stat, if you say all time, and it shows you the the close to 40,000 hits on SoundCloud and the close to 39,000 hits on Spreaker, but some of them overlap because one draws from the other, so it's hard to calculate exact numbers, right? And then the city comes up, Mountain View, US, you know, or even Lindsay, Canada, where we live, or, you know, Dublin, Ireland, a huge, huge number. So again, like, guys, we want to hear from you. Thank you. Do you enjoy the show? What do you like? What you don't like? Or at least thank you for listening. Or again, thanks to that one dude that's just like, hey, 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 spam, 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 spam. That's still, I guess, appreciated. We don't want to falsify any numbers, but, you know, what I'm trying to say is we can see you on social media and you're watching us, and we would like a little bit more of an intimate relationship. Even if you say hello, if you want to email us at rollmongers.com or whatever, you know, you don't have to be a patron to do this, to reach out to us. We have a Discord server that has half a dozen of our Star Wars fans in it, that's like collecting tumbleweeds, because everyone goes in there, says hey or whatever, and then there's just sort of no turning over, you know. That's fine. We appreciate people going, hey, I'm here, and they're listening, they're watching, they're lurking. There's nothing wrong with that. And we're not asking for fans just to like not be themselves and be like really chatty. No. I'm just trying to take a moment to say how much we appreciate everyone out there when something like COVID's going on, and it's easy to get distracted, to get away from interacting with people, and the social media, what you say and do there becomes much more important, because that is how you're interacting with people in self-isolation. And we appreciate any of the time you give us to interact with us. Frank, I can't stall anymore. Tell us about your guy. no, that was just a stall. That was a thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Yeah, I mean, so I'm going to take another level in fighter. And for my fighter feat, I was looking at reactive shield. So what that allowed me to do is anytime I'm struck by an attack, I can, as a reaction, raise my shield to intercept the attack. The shield will negate up to its hardness and damage. Anything over and above that, I take half, shield takes half, and it may break the shield. And then I was thinking about taking fleet as the general feat, and that would boost me up just a little bit just so I can keep up with everybody else. But other than that, guys, do you have any suggestions for a general feat for a third level fighter?
Take a lance.
Lance, yeah, because that's doing the Cavaliers so good.
No. I'm telling you, like, I'm running into monsters that are on foot. And they give them a lance, and I'm looking through the rules, and I'm like, is this a typo? Did they just give a guy a sword, a shield, and a lance, and there's no mount? Can you use a lance on foot? It's like, well, if you think about it, you're up on your horse. It's kind of one handed because you got your shield. Okay, you cross over the back of the mare's head, and it's kind of braced. It's like, this is something I want us to look up. You know, is this is this is legit. Like, they've given it to a monster. You guys are going to get lanced. And I wouldn't spoil and foreshadow or screw anything up because I don't want to bust down into an argument mid-combat. We're talking about things you could take, as in feats that could prop weapons.
I can show you videos of exactly how a lance would actually pretty much work for the most part. I play Monster Hunter World, and
I know,
and lance is one of the most underrated weapons in the game. It's amazing.
I know that in Pathfinder First Edition, granted everything's changed here, lance was a unique weapon in that if you were mounted, you could use it one-handed, even though it's a class large weapon. So if you were not mounted, you could still use a lance, but you would have to use two hands.
Yeah, and the damage would double because you're charging. But I'm talking about like stripping it down to its basic single dice component. Two hands with reach. Yah, 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 pokey poke like a big spear. Like, as far as I can tell, this might be in your future. And
And there was kind of a specific weapon, again, for that. And it was called the long spear. And it was for doing just what you were suggested.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it had super long reach. Like, it was one of the weird 15-foot reach weapons. And you could just reach out and hi-yah somebody from across town, basically.
Yeah.
It's awesome for, like, three-level deep fighter groups.
I'm just picking...
You'd have your melees, reaches, and then stabbers between the three of them. You'd rip stuff up.
I was watching a show, and they had a really cool way to do, like, a chariot race. They took three people, okay, and you have one guy in front, okay? And he puts his hands straight behind him in cups. Okay, then you have two people behind him, and they brace shoulder right, shoulder left, okay, and they reach forward, and they grab, like, finger lace that guy reaching back. So a pyramid of people. You got this, right? You got one in the front. He's reaching back. You got two people side by side with their shoulders locked, you know, doing the sideways buddy grab, and they're reaching forward, okay? Now place a person on the back guy's shoulders with his feet in the stirrups of the hands. And there is your chariot, just like in My Hero Academia, and you run around. So we just put, Theron on top in his Hell Knight armor with a lance. The three of you guys are below him, and you could make a horse, just charge him around
it's
the room
terrible.
With Miros and his chest horse hair deflecting blows at the front. I'm telling you, it's a legitimate tactic. I will allow it. Because you have your lightweights, your two casters in the back. You know, Miros will just drag you guys by his hand, but totally legit. Anyway, Theon, any other new surprises? Let's talk about your saves. Let's talk about your hit points. Let's talk about you. I'm muting your mic.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah. So let's see. Hit points jumped up a little bit. Let me kind of get on the right page here. I think I'm just shy of 50, so I have 49 hit points.
Very nice. Very nice.
Fortitude 10, Reflex 8, Will 6.
Okay.
I mean, I think that's pretty much it. Everything kind of goes up by its train bonus plus level.
Did you guys like lie about this whole Dwarven Brewery thing? It was just like, guys, I feel it's time for necromancy. We need to be the anti-necro spellcasting party because all your fort saves are through the roof all around the room. And have you ever noticed?
That's just from the years of drinking, building up our metal.
And it's like, classically, the bad guy isn't always fireball and stuff. Those are players. Classically, they always have the bad guy casters with all these necro vampiric. You know what I mean? It's always a fort save.
Well, saber sucks, I think, are horrible, so.
Mm.
It's nice that we're bolstered that way.
I actually just noticed something I missed. I got a class ability called Signature, and it's amazing.
Do tell.
You've learned to cast some of your spells more flexibly. For each spell level you have access to, choose one spell of that level to be a signature spell. You don't need to learn the heightened versions of signature spells separately. Instead, you can heighten these spells freely. If you learn a signature spell at a higher level than its minimum, you can also cast its lower level versions without learning those separately. It's pretty cool. So I can declare that Magic Missile is a signature
spell. Yeah, I was going to say, at least do one your favorite one that you like, only special occasions.
Because it is the one I cast the most.
Okay. Well, signature could be your finishing move. And this is what I'm known for, the frostbite of claw. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't have to be the onesie. It could be sort of like the special occasion spell. I'll give you that as well. It doesn't have to be the most cast. It could be the one you're known for. All their toes were frosted and the bodies are looted. And alcohol was forced down their throats. We don't understand. The crime scene is just completely confusing. You know? No?
So, anyways. you're also able to specifically to change a signature spell to a different spell of that level without swapping spells.
Okay.
So,
do you have to burn your focus point to do that?
No, I have to take the time to retrain it, but
all right.
it's a less of a penalty as long.
Okay. I also felt Theon wasn't quite done. You got anything else to share there, Theon, besides that awesome shield thing?
No, I think that's it. Just the you know, the reactive shield, and I'm going to go with fleet. That should help me keep up with the rest of the party, you know. And then there are the one-ups for, like I was saying, train and level bonus, and that's pretty much it. I mean,
now, does heavy armor, there's a move penalty or there's a move restriction?
Yes to both.
Because I say, like, if a move restriction caps at 20, that might not serve you. If it's just like, oh, 10 or 5.
They don't. So first edition Pathfinder would cap your movement.
Right.
So if you're wearing heavy armor, you know, it's a minus 10, you know, or so on. This one just subtracts from your total movement.
Yeah, that's good. No, that's
heavy armor is minus 5.
Yeah.
Unless you don't meet the strength requirement, and then I think it's minus 10.
Right. And you do.
So I do meet the strength requirement, so I was suffering minus 5 movement. I'm going to take fleet to get it right back up there where it should be, and now I have a regular movement.
Okay. You know, we've been negligent posting these guys online, so while we're, you know, this long and knee-deep talking about our characters in depth, would you guys mind reading your stats that you chose, starting with Theon? What your strength, your dex is, people?
Yeah. So Theon has an 18 strength, 12 dex, 16 con, 12 int, 12 wisdom, and 8 charisma.
See, and that's how I picture him. Strong, yeah, so charming.
That's his dump stat. Yeah. You know, like all dwarves, he's got, you know, the dark vision. So now he's got 20 feet worth of movement and heavy armor. 10 fort, 8 reflex, 6 will. So
awesome.
Not bad.
Okay.
Almost 50 hit points.
Al?
I have a strength of 10, strong. Dex of 14, so I'm a little nimble. Constitution of 14, hardy dwarf. Intelligence 12, also a little bit above average, but not genius. Wisdom of 12, I'm young. Maybe that will come with time, probably not. And my major stat is charisma.
I gotta say, you are the voice of reason in this party. If you wanted to roleplay and not only boost your willpower save, but to roleplay, I would actually put something in wisdom. But that's,
well, I do. That's 12.
Yeah, no, it's not bad. I mean, yeah, like, I just bit. More often than not, your wisdom, you know, like Theon has a 12. He has the potential to be there, but you know, this is not what you got. It's how you use it. You know, people can ignore their stats.
Oh, I've got plenty of common sense. If I kick that door open, make an unholy noise, monsters run to me. I don't have to look for them.
There you go.
It's worked so far.
Or maybe you're not so wise, you're just so charismatic that people just believe in you, what you say. I don't know. Maybe that as well.
That's probably it.
Okay.
Well, I've got that going for me, too.
Ladies.
And now to hear from the other cousin. Miros.
Oi.
Miros.
Hey, it's strength of 18, dexterity of 14, constitution 14, intelligence 10, wisdom 14, and charisma of 8.
Okay.
I have a land base speed of 35. My max hit points are 46, and usually run into encounters with an initiative of 7.
Okay. I noticed your speed hasn't changed on your character. I don't know if there's a way to manually modify that, but that's cool.
Yeah, it makes two of us.
And our...
there is, if you go to movement, let's see where
I find your modifier.
You add the modifier to it.
There you go. And Niles.
There's a tab. So my strength of 14, dex of 10, constitution of 12, intelligence of 10, wisdom of 18, charisma of 14.
Very nice.
Anything else?
No. I think after almost an hour of getting to know each other, of showing off his beard in the torchlight, of, you know, leveling as the, you know, the uphill climb, I believe you guys make your way down the tunnel. Congratulations on your being third level.
Woot woot.
Yeah. And then, Then we're gonna talk about what happens next. What's at the end of the tunnel? I'm curious, though. Any guesses?
Riches.
Yeah, big pile of loot. I like that for you.
I'm hoping whoever made these footprints that we've been following is completely off guard, like just sitting there reading, perhaps.
Not paying attention to the dwarves coming down.
Oh, totally. Oh. Sound asleep.
Oh, something happened there. The audio just cut out. Still there?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
Well, I'm just not talking. Joe just muted himself up right quick there.
Okay.
Probably to be sneaky.
No, that's fine. It was clicking, and I just thought, oh, crap, the audio just cut out. Okay, and rise of my dead. They're very quiet down here at the end. So
So tell us what we've won, Don Pardo.
Don Pardo?
No.
When you guys get to the very end of the tunnel, there is a hewn end where they've taken more care to dig and flatten the dirt and the stone, and there's some boards on the floor. You know what I mean? More bracing. The tunnel does end, but it's almost like they're trying to... Do you guys have some dwarven construction, some craft you can hit me with?
A craft?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Craft of 30.
Craft of 17 for all things dwarfish.
We're talking about construction underground, so...
Crafting of 18.
Okay. Do we have any experts trained?
I'm trained at 13.
Okay. Now, are we still on that... You have expert trained, you have crafting trained, you have crafting untrained. Is that everything? Like, shouldn't you pick something specific to be trained in? I mean, I even ran into a bad guy in my book here. It's like lore library as opposed to just like lore de hoc or lore, you know, it's just kind of like, all right.
Your lore skills are specific. Your crafting skills are just technically used on your downtime.
Okay. So with a trained Theon at 17. But a much easier DC for Al, being an expert at 13, and being obvious to Miros, trained at 18. And even untrained Niles, when they're looking at it, if they tell you what you're looking at, it makes immediate sense. But I wouldn't say it's something you pick out. This tunnel is designed to brace a floor. There's got to be some sort of structure above the end of this tunnel for the extra poles, framing. The ceiling comes into a very narrow 5x5 space, and the ladder disappears into the ceiling up into it. But they have braced a sort of a 10-foot section, and you guys would guess that there's a structure up above. So this isn't going to, like, pop out in the middle of nowhere. This might pop out under something.
And now we're in somebody's basement.
Mm.
Quick, give Miros a boost.
Wait, dwarven pyramid!
How high up does it go?
It's the pervial. You guys go like the 8 foot, and then there's the last four for 12. You know what I mean? Like barely, you know, just...
It's 2.5
human on the top.
Yeah. What's that?
All units of... Go ahead. I was going to say all units of distance are measured in dwarves. 2.5 dwarves.
Okay.
And good thing there's a human on top, so I can reach the top.
Well, there is a ladder.
No, we don't trust it.
Did we not mention the ladder?
You can fall off a ladder. Have you ever seen a dwarf fall off another dwarf? It just doesn't happen.
On the Shoulders of Dwarves. Shout out to those guys. Very unique podcast. And that's exactly what it's called, On the Shoulders of Dwarves. I believe they're French. So, Miros is up top?
Yep.
Okay.
Bust through, really cool flip, land, stealth.
All right, there's some sort of hatch, like a trapdoor made out of very heavy wood that you meet in this gap. And you just...
Well, then me being the bottommost dwarf, I push.
And I channel the strength. I use mountain stance, but today we're going to call this Theoin stance.
Okay.
I'm going to channel Theoin. Hiya!
Instead of Newton's, those are called hiyas.
All right, so you come flipping up and land, stick the landing right in front of the trapdoor. You glance around. You're in a small 10 by 15 foot room, many barrels, and a heavy smell of pickles. Tons and tons of jars lining shelves at eye height and up, and a door at the far end of the room, exiting. And where you came out is kind of concealed. It's not covered, because the door opened easily enough, but it's... You came out from behind some barrels, and somebody has stacked stuff. Like, it's, you know, people, you go into the living room and the couch is like a foot off the wall. You see the wall, you see the gap, you see the couch, and it's like, okay, well, it's just, they've moved it forward for whatever reason. You don't necessarily go over and, unless you're looking for the cat or your socks, you don't go over and look down, that kind of thing. They've set up barrels and stuff that's like, if you want the barrel, just come grab the barrel. There's no need to go beyond this point, kind of thing. Anyway, you've popped up out of there, and you're into what looks like a storeroom.
Yum.
Yeah, pickles. This wet, cold, phallic shape, wienerish thing drops down the hole and hits you in the head there, Frank. At first you're terrified till you realize it's a pickle.
Hey, we've broken to a larder.
Yep.
Does that make the larder our treasure too? Well, we could end up owning most of everything.
It could be Rick's larder, because he's carved the dwarven name for Rick into the side of his pickle that he dropped down.
Pickle Rick, you say?
Sorry, Ryan, I had to.
No, no, that's fair. That's fair. Okay. Fair play.
So up the ladder I go. Yep. Anyway, yep. Looking yep. for pickles.
Okay.
So when I get up to the top, I see what looks like a larder? Mm-hmm. Question mark.
A storeroom.
And it's kind of half blind in jars and stuff. So I'm gonna start searching.
Okay.
I mean, we're looking for the person that went the other way and laid magic down.
Yes.
Or some food.
Sorry, it's not a door that exits. It's a stairway on the far wall. Like, you'd go over to one corner, and then there's stairs going up leading you through the ceiling. So it's obviously a basement.
Do we have a rough estimate of how long we were walking on this tunnel for?
Miles.
Okay.
Long enough to meet a level.
One cage.
Long enough for him to grow his beard.
And I would walk for one whole level.
Niles the Mighty, you know, emerges from the hole with the big Fabio hair and beard and ripple chest and the what do you call it, the Fabio shirt and the curly mustache, and it's level 3.
Yeah, you look better. Yeah. I don't know what it is about you, but you just look better.
You've gained more confidence, I see.
Yes. Must be those monk armbands that he taught you how to wrap around and make, you know, he's got the... looks good.
So cool.
Yep.
So any sign of an evil wizard?
No, Al abandoned you a long time ago. He was like, forget this. He backtracked out of the tunnel, let the goblins carry him back into town. He'll meet you somewhere. I think that was...
It's trilling along slowly in a train.
Very, very nice. I like that. That's good. I totally won't discredit that saying. He just kind of mumbled along, shuffling his feet like a madman as he decided what spells to take.
Yeah. Rubbing the side of his head. I'm not crazy.
Snowball is completely... It's a completely dormant spell within inside me. I must dig deep to get it. Okay. So you guys are in a storeroom.
Yeah.
In a basement.
I will go opposite wall of Theoden.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Sweet. Search. Yep, search okay. said basement.
Pickled cucumbers, beets, radishes, onions, cauliflower, chicken's feet, and several pickled pig's ears line the shelves along the walls.
So it's more of a grazing than a looting?
It's just kind of num.
Roll in, flip the lid off of a barrel, and just start loading them up like plates at a buffet.
Yeah, really.
By the time I get to the far wall, I have like a sandwich.
Okay. Taking the proverbial 10-20 minutes, as it were, you guys toss the room. You feed well on, I guess you could call this hardtack. I mean, it's all pickled, you know. Num num num.
It's all good in my books.
Yeah, it's kind of like snacking in the fridge, where you just like you're hungry, you just kind of like open the pickled onions and a pickle, and no one's looking, so you put two fingers in there, hoping that the vinegar will burn off any germs. And
now I'm actually hungry. Thank you.
Here to help, buddy. I hope you have pickles.
You can eat on the break in 20 minutes. But in the meantime, anything else you guys want to do?
So, I mean, if we've given this a solid search and I say we don't find an evil wizard, yonder stairs are the direction we should be going.
Okay.
All right. Dwarven rock, paper, scissors with the Owen. Okay. And I always go rock.
I have my Spock lizard,
lizard. We'll just put one on rock.
There we go. Black or red there, Muros?
Black.
Lizard versus Spock. Lizard poison Spock. You win.
Ah.
Or in your case, rock and gecko.
Up the stairs.
Okay.
Up, 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 up.
The stairs end at a door. Can I have a perception check, please?
Certainly. 15.
Not only do you see light, obviously, because it's like pitch black in here, and with your dark vision up and running, spilling through cracks of this doorway or whatever, you hear the ambient sounds of an afternoon tavern in full swing. You guys hit the dungeon morning, afternoon. We're in there for an hour, and then you guys did the rest, taking us sort of into the next day, early morning again, I believe, and then finished up and did a several mile hike underground. And whether this is a roadside tavern in the middle of nowhere, or it's taking you back to Breach Hill, or some other community you guys are unaware of, north, south, or whatever, in Iskar, here you are. Beyond that door, Miros, is your second favorite thing, a lively tavern.
My first favorite thing is a lively tavern with lots of ale. Open the door.
Okay.
Ha!
You see a tavern. Full swing. A large, gruff-looking woman tends bar. There's servants and staff mulling about. And a really rough-looking crowd of regulars. These don't look like the... some of these guys you recognize from the... what was the name of Niles' pub that doubled as a tavern? You guys remember?
The keg.
couple of guys from the keg there, but this is
Caden's keg.
Yeah,
right.
Caden's keg.
Yeah,
Not just the keg.
Yeah.
I'm not going there for a steak.
Could, though.
But only one or two. Most of the people here you do not recognize from anywhere in the town, and they look like a rather rough and tumble group.
I'm digging it.
Okay. What are you guys doing? You guys all coming up, pushing through, or are you waiting to see what happens?
Yeah. Yeah. I move on in. Okay. I'm like, as soon as I hear the music and the lively, head just kind of starts bobbing a bit.
Yeah. I mean, worst case scenario, there's kegs that need killing.
No, you're the rocks, Barry. Gets upstairs, steps in the room, he's just like...
The worst part, it's contagious, so as soon as Murrow starts doing it, and Theo sees him behind.
Just one at a time, we all come in and start doing it, too.
So eventually, we're just staying there, all three.
Yeah, the best part is...
Axes, shields, and heads.
There's no music. That's the best part. It's like, this is like your afternoon, hard knocks, rough side of town, afternoon drinking, a bunch of mumble conversations, and
I don't think the guys in Knight and Roxbury had music most of the time, either. It was just coming, all anyway. In their heads.
It's the music of the ale that we're just bobbing to.
So, the staff spot you.
You can't tell by the armor that I wear. I'm a fighting man. No blood to spare.
sir, that just got you a hero point. For two reasons. For two reasons. Not the regular reason because you actually finished the lyrics this time. Is because that's the first time that you guys have set up a musical scenario that I personally did not prompt. So hero point for Frank.
Yep.
But I will before
hero point.
Before Matt takes to the end, that will only be allowed once a session. Okay, you guys can't milk that, and you can't milk that every session. But I will
every other session start with
like, but it's got to be an opportune moment, like a tavern music. Okay, that's an opportune moment, not just in the middle of nowhere, like for no reason. You know, if there's a musical moment presents itself, and it wasn't just didn't just happen. Then I'll give a hero point for that. That seems to go along with our GM, don't you think?
Yeah.
But there's always a musical.
Honestly, though, you put a pair of sunglasses on all of us, we just roll around looking like ZZ Top.
Yep. Two claps.
Oh, yeah. The best part is getting Niles to shave his legs, and he's the girl in all the videos, because there's only three of you. So was not.
No, it'd be, he's got kegs. He knows how to use them.
Knows how to brew them.
Oh, brew them. Yeah, good, nice.
How to brew them. Oh, geez, now I got that song just filling my head with alternate lyrics. Matt, you and I are going to have another one of our phone calls where, the last time we chatted, I told you about all the songs Cheryl and I used to write, like postcards from NPCs done to postcards from chimpanzees. And they're really, really great. Without much prodding on my part, Matt did a great job with Order 66. If you listen to our Star Wars podcast, and Portugal the Man does Rebel Just for Kicks, and Matt and his dad's band wrote and recorded Order 66. It's really good. We've actually posted it where we post our audio. A video coming soon. Video pending. Got to check that out. With Matt on lead vocals and lyrics. Anyway.
Thanks for the plug, Jeff.
Yeah. The staff, like, give you shit. Like, you're a bunch of drunks that wandered into the back room. They give you shit for being back there. And they, get out of there, that kind of thing. So what do you guys do?
Who is the owner of this fine establishment? More importantly, what is this fine establishment?
Thirdly of all, where's your ale?
Yeah, you drunken fools. You're in the pickled ear. Roxy owns it, pointing at the large woman behind the bar. Staff only. Can you not read? And it says employees only, even though he said staff only. He's pointing at the sign. Get out of there. Get out of there. Any more of you in there? You, with the nice legs. Upstairs. Let's go. Hustling. I know you. Oh. You're that kid from the keg. What are you doing poking around our dock room? You're spying for them clerics and such whatnot, are you? Hey, Roxy, like we got a spy in here. Pointing at the kid. Very, very like sunglasses, giggity giggity dwarves all mulling around with nowhere to stand, right? And he's pointing out the innocent looking kid. We got a spy from another. So this woman asks, bring Niles forward, and before you guys can do much, they just kind of shove Niles towards the bar. Now, you guys are just kind of standing along a wall near an exit, which leads to the basement. Eyes are obviously turning. People are start watching you guys. You guys are shouting out, who owns this place? Where's the beer? All that kind of thing. And then there's this conversation going on where he comes along, points the door, walking up the line of you guys, and then, hey, who else is down there? And sees Niles emerging. What's going on? Grabs him, shows him off to Roxy. Not far away is the edge of the bar. And Roxy is with some big, hardened, lumberjack-looking guy, polishing a dirty mug with an even dirtier rag. Looks over. like trying to figure out what's going on. So, what do you guys wish to do?
I'll step up. Oi, oi, you got it all wrong. We was just looking for the restroom. And this wee lad came down to shoo us out. I'll point at Niles. I thought he was working for you.
The room holds 30.
And I will roll.
Like I say, the room holds the room holds 30. There's like
17.
Seven people in here. And she just kind of puts her hands on her hips, like she doesn't call you on it, but she's just kind of looking at the room like it would be kind of hard for you guys to enter your said group without anyone noticing. You know what I mean? Like, so she says,
well,
oh, go ahead, Theo.
I was going to say, well, perhaps put it this way. Me and my friends here have gone for a bit of a long walk, you might say. And at the end of said long walk, we find this building. Now, my real question is, who come that way that we came out of? Answer me. I'll try intimidate.
Sure.
Let's see, what is the 18?
She looks around the bar, looks back at you guys.
Back there is a storeroom where we keep our pickles. This is the pickled ear.
But I suppose if you guys buy around, I'm willing to forget your trespassing. She says a little bit. You can tell she's trying to save face. She really doesn't, like, she immediately drops the whole spot, like, you know, forgets about Niles being a spy, blah, 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 immediately goes on the defensive.
Hey, what the ground?
I'll slap a silver down.
Okay. Drinks are served. She sends staff to look after you guys quickly with good stuff, and she busies herself with regulars down the other end of the bar, keeping an eye on, but staying away from Theoin as if somewhat cowed. Heavy grog, dark mead, and a spit in every glass to make it taste that much better. Here at the Pickled Ear, it's pretty obvious, Niles, social.
Sure. It's pretty obvious. I don't notice anything. What the fork?
I've never been. I didn't know there were other taverns in my town. I've never left the Keg. I've had a beer bottle in my mouth, and one day you guys rode in. That's my whole story. Sure. No, seriously.
Yeah. I have nothing.
I got nothing.
Start telling the story of the three dwarfs and the human.
I got a 9.
While we all drink.
17.
Let's see if we can't pull up.
I got a 23 society.
Oh, okay. Do you guys remember like the day and a half, the 3 days you spent in town and then in jail, right? You guys remember all?
Fondly.
Right. So while you guys were licking your wounds and giving in to Dahlgren's conspiracy theories, Theoin was talking with everyone that would lend an ear about the layout of the town. You guys had the business angle. Where are all the taverns? Because you guys want to be brewers that supply and all that kind of thing, right? So with your 23, you remember the Pickled Ear. First of all, you guys seeing this?
Yeah.
First of all, it's the very north end of town. Okay, so it's kind of away from the main hub, right? Cade's Keg is sort of like the northern center, and then way up almost by the wall, the Pickled Ear, it's a little bit out of the way. It's known to be, you know, the most rough and tumble dive bar. Okay, it's frequented by locals and some of the hardscrabble adventurers. But they have a lot of rowdy brawlers, blah, 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 rowdy brawls in here that, you know, take place far too much for the town guard's liking. The proprietor, Roxy Den, has some kind of arrangement with the city that it's like, well, if I give them a place to drink and fight, they're not harassing people on the streets, so the place is tolerated. That makes sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to happen somewhere.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So I'll repeat my request to Roxy after two or three drinks goes down.
Mm.
Who's been using your door there? We followed footprints all the way up into this place, so someone other than you and now us knows it's there.
What door is that?
Well, I'll show you if you want.
Okay.
I'll drag you all the way down to the end if you'd like.
Sure.
Show you them crypts.
Yep. Her and
after you.
Her and
yeah.
Theo.
I mean, if she
her
wants to her, go take a look
yeah,
at it.
Her and Theo and disappear downstairs for a while.
Love's in the air. I will get my tavern one way or another, even if that includes Manhorn.
That's right. Yeah.
after he leaves into the basement with her, I just look over at Miros. Yeah. There he's gone again, whoring it up. He's going to give us a bad name.
Hey. His mom was concerned about that about him.
And his taste in women.
Lost your camera, Matt. There you go. Yeah, a good 30, 40 microseconds later, you know, Roxy comes up carrying a very satisfied cigar-smoking Theoan, like a bride, to the threshold, and, you know, announces he now owns half the bar.
Sweet, dude!
Can you do that all the time, or is that like a once-in-a-lifetime thing?
The ultimate
I think I've...
Swinging his dwarven hammer.
Okay. In all seriousness, Theoan, you take Roxy downstairs.
All right.
You show her the trap door.
Yeah, I'll show her the. Yep. And I'll get real serious, like.
Okay.
Just in case she has any funny ideas of poking a hole in me and throwing me down that well, or them stairs. Yeah.
No, you get the idea that it's her home turf. If you raised a hand or something, like staff an entire place, you know, would be very upset. Not to mention, like, you guys want to open shop here, you know. Roughing up.
Oh, I know. But from my point of view, she's a wizard.
Oh, that Roxy you might know, pull something. You know, sorry.
Yeah. So if Roxy throws up, crooked fingers.
Okay.
I'm shoving her and throwing her down that hole.
Okay. Nope. She's just walking around with her hands on her hips. Oh, that. Anyway, she explains that there's not enough support on the door for like a barrel. Though the floor seems pretty solid. She stomps on it or whatever. So, you know, we just left it empty. Was there when I bought the place. Anyway.
Were the footprints there, too, that says someone has been coming in and out just like we did?
I don't know anything about footprints. Anyway, it's a dark, dank tunnel that leads who knows where. She's not interested in exploring it and ending up, you know, being some kind of cave dweller's food. And nothing's come out. Nothing's come up. So we just keep it, you know, we just keep it shut. And if something did come up, well, it's got all this to eat before it finds me and all my tavern, you know, folks, so we feel pretty safe. But can't tell you much about it. Can I have a perception check, please?
Would love to make that perception check. 17.
Her story's vague, but it is sound. You know, human, wander around the dark. Oh, let's see where this tunnel goes.
Man, I will attempt one more intimidation check to see if I can... I'm going to try to intimidate her one more time to get her to tell us the truth. I think she's full of shite.
Okay.
15 on intimidate.
Okay.
Tell us the truth. You're lying. Someone's been practicing skullduggery here. They move in and out, and you know about it, just like you knowed we came up. This room's not big enough for someone to come sneaking out and out the front door without you seeing.
She folds her arms. So what of it?
Tell me who. And perhaps we need not involve the guards. We just need involve gold.
Oh, no. Guards, before you arrest these dwarves for trespassing in my basement in a tunnel that they're well to explore, it goes who knows where, you know, blah 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 blah. And then she looks at you very seriously. Fine, I'll tell you.
It gets weird. Suddenly, she controls the horizontal and the vertical.
Next week, next time, after the break on our live show, and next week if you're listening to this as an upload, say goodnight, Theoan. Now he has the whole night down there with Roxy. Who knows what information he's going to get.
Good night, folks. Let's see how much of this bar I can get out from underneath her before we get back.